Good morning. It's good to be back. My daughter Rebecca's here. Rebecca, why don't you just stand up right there, honey? And she's my baby. She's 14 years old, and I was looking at her schedule. I think we were here about 7 years ago. Okay, you may be seated. I'm sorry about that, honey. When we go around churches, we always, you know, have to introduce the family. My wife, Satchio, and the girls, actually, Hannah, is back in Fountain Inn, South Carolina. That's our home base. And we've been in 20 churches, reporting to some of our churches, been in some new churches. So just pray for us. We've traveled about 17,000 miles in about 3.5 months. And it's been a blessing seeing what God is doing. This is the first time we have been here in the auditorium, and this is a real blessing. You can walk down here, and it's very quietly walking down. So that was a blessing. And tile out there as you come in and the entrance, and that is a blessing as well. So much has happened since we've been here. Maybe I'll get into some of the details as far as, the tsunami and the earthquake. Our work there in Tohoku in the northern part of Japan, working there in Kesanuma, Miyagi-ken, we went up and worked in that zone and watched God do some things. We're praying for our new church plant there up in Kesanuma, so I'd ask you to pray about that. We have been missionaries in Okinawa, Japan, and Urumashi in Okinawa-ken, about 1,200 miles southwest of Tokyo, and we have a church, and I'm not going to get in and report to you because this is a college, but many of your churches we're going to be in will be in Maranatha tomorrow night, and then we'll be in Emmanuel Baptist Church on Sunday. I will be in Tri-City Baptist Church July 28th, and I'm going to be in Victory Baptist Church somewhere in between all that. I can't remember the date, so we'll get more into that. If you have your Bibles, Acts chapter 4. This is a special place. It's great to see many of my professors still here serving the Lord, faithful, and some new folks that I have not met yet. I praise the Lord for each and every one of you. And when I came to Ambassador Baptist College, I was like this. I was completely out of balance, and sometimes that can happen through listening to the wrong types of preachers or tapes or maybe some people that gave you wrong instruction, but my pastor and many of you lovingly worked with us and taught us the Word of God, and I praise the Lord for bibliology class with Pastor Camp and those kind of things. And I remember many great, great memories from Ambassador Baptist College. Acts chapter 4, the book of Acts is a book of action. And I like that because I can call it like missions in action or MIA or so many different things like that. When I was in the Marine Corps, all we learned was acronyms, United States Marine Corps and the FBI and all these different things when we did operations and stuff like that. But I like the book of Acts because things are moving forward. It's a book of action. And missionaries love the book of Acts. Now, Luke is a physician. He's a physician and he's the writer of the book. We know the author is the Holy Spirit. And the theme is the establishment of the early church. Look at Acts chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. The Bible says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Verse 4, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Go down to verse 12. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name given among men. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you, dear God, for the word of God. I thank you for Ambassador Baptist College, and I pray, Lord, that you would bless the service. Hide me behind the cross. Father, everything that's said and done, may it bring honor and glory to you in Jesus' name. Amen. The name of the message this morning is The Need for Biblical Boldness. As I travel around and I preach in many churches, we know what we need to say as far as preachers. We have the Word of God. We preach the Word of God. We know the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Christ. But sometimes Christians need boldness to share their faith. And this morning, I'm going to show you from the book of Acts, if you have time to study it on your own later, study the word bold and boldness in the book of Acts, and you'll see there is a correlation between being filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit and having boldness. And without the Holy Spirit of God controlling us, you and I will not share our faith because we need God's Holy Spirit in our lives and controlling us when we share our faith. In verse 13 of the same chapter, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. Now, the Bible says, "And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with whom? With Jesus." And when people look at your life in school or out of school or at work or in your family or out in life, do people know that you have been with Jesus Christ? You know, in Japanese, it's like they would say, like they would have a kazoku no seikatsu, which is a family life, or they would have a kyokai no seikatsu, which is a church life, or they would have a kazoku no seikatsu, which is a family life, and they have all these different types of lives. And we tell our Christian believers in our Japanese churches, we're Christians 365 days a year, 24 hours a day. We are Christians. We need to be Christ-like, and we must have the boldness of Jesus Christ to be a witness in this dark world. Last week was a tough week for the United States of America. Terrorism coming to the States. I've seen that in combat before. I've seen that in different countries, but I never thought it would come to the shores of the United States of America. We in the United States are living in dark times. But we have the gospel, and the gospel is good news, and the gospel has power, and the gospel can break down Buddhism and Shintoism and Confucianism and Islam. It can break that down, and that is the only thing that can break down these false religious systems. So in order to be a witness of Jesus Christ, we must have boldness. Now, number one, there is the need of boldness. Now, salvation comes only through Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in verse 13 that they were filled, or literally, let's look at that one more time, Acts chapter 4, verse 13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled that they had knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus Christ." Verse 14. "And beholding the men which they healed standing with them, they could not say nothing against them." Now, let me just say this. They knew that these men were with Jesus Christ. Now, if you're here at Ambassador Baptist College and you're shy or you're timid, you need to ask God for the fullness or the being filled with the Spirit of God. Now, how do you do that? Number one, we have to be, we need to be completely forgiven of all our sins. The Bible says in 1 John 1:9, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness." That word confess means to agree with God. We need to go to God every day. God, help me with my pride, or help me with anything you're dealing with in your life. And you need to come to God and you need to be clean. And when you're clean before God, we can go to God and say, "God, fill me, control me." And then God can use you and He'll give you that biblical boldness. Look at verse 29 of the same chapter, Acts chapter 4, verse 29. The Bible says, "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." Folks, "thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." This word, it doesn't matter if it's in English or Japanese or Chinese or Spanish. This word has power. We have seen God do great things in Japan. And it was the word of God. It was not the messenger. It was God's word that did it. It's amazing. I watched a lady, Mrs. Hina. She's 80 years old. She was a Seventh-day Adventist. And this lady, we worked with her for a year and a half. She was there when they dropped the second bomb of World War II. September 2nd, 1945, MacArthur in Tokyo Bay. They signed the end of the war right there. And this lady was there. Now, here's a guy, Kokujin, or a foreigner, standing before this lady, and I'm teaching the Word of God, and this is the country that dropped the bomb on their country after they attacked us December 7, 1941. This lady hears the word of God and she gets saved. Then we disciple her, and her birthday and her spiritual birthday is on the same day. That's amazing. And here's the country that did all this. And I understand the whole history of the war thing between Japan and Korea and China and all the different things. But this lady got saved by the power of the Word of God. I tell you, the Word of God still has power this morning. Verse 31, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. The Bible goes on to say, and when they had prayed, the place was shaken. Where they were assembled together, and they were all, what's the word? Filled, or literally, controlled by the Holy Spirit, and they spake the word of God with boldness. Question. You're here at Ambassador Baptist College. You're studying the word of God. You hear classes day in and day out. Are you sharing your faith here in your Jerusalem? Because if we do not share our faith here or in your churches, you will not do it on the mission field, mission majors. How many mission majors do I have here? That's wonderful. Praise the Lord. Go ahead. You put your hand up, please. I see that hand. What a blessing that is to us. But I tell you, one out of four that's called to the mission field actually get there these days. If you're called, go. Go there. That's a statistic. Maybe Brother Johnson's got something new, but when we come back, things are changing. We don't hear so much when we're gone. We're literally 8,000 miles away. You can't just say, hey, if you're in the area, stop on by and see us. It's like anywhere from 17 to 25 hours to get to Japan. Well, about 13, 14 hours to Tokyo and 2.5 hours down to Okinawa. So share your faith. You know, when you're out and the Holy Spirit says you need to talk to that person. Now, there was just a young man here and his wife. He's not too young. His name is Joey Tacon. He's a missionary with Baptist World Mission. Great friend. We've been to a couple conferences. Before, as a Christian, I'm guilty of this. We would see somebody, a biker, or somebody that has earrings in their nose or their ears, and you would say, oh, look at that person. And I was guilty of saying, Lord, break my heart. Joey was sharing his testimony with me, how what he was before God saved him, and God has called him to Italy, and what an amazing story that is. And I said, God, don't ever let me forget where we came from or where I came from in my own life. I was unsaved in the Marines. I wasn't a great guy. But the whole thing is, when I heard the gospel, God saved me and he changed my life. And when we see people out there, may we see what they can become. Not what they are now, because they're dark. They're in their sin and Satan is controlling their life and all that stuff. But what they need is, they just need to be saved, because the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are literally becoming new. So what a wonderful, wonderful truth that is from the Word of God. Secondly, the necessity of intercession. Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. Let me get there myself. Recently, I just got some glasses. I didn't bring them here today because I knew the lighting would be well here. Really good. It's excellent. But my arms lately have been getting shorter. So I've recently got some glasses. I've only used them twice, and it's really different. When you have those bifocal things going, you're kind of looking around and everything's coming in and out. So I'm still trying to learn how to use those things. So maybe I'll wear them at some of your churches or where you go to church. But secondly, the necessity of intercession. Acts chapter 9, verse 26 through 29. The Bible says, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. Now understand, folks, Paul, or Saul, before he got saved, he was persecuting the church. Then he met Jesus Christ on the Damascus Road, and in about 20 seconds, he went from persecuting the church to preaching for the church. And I'm thankful that here it says in verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way, and that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached what? What's the word? Boldly at Damascus in the name of whom? Jesus. I'll tell you, folks, this world hates the name of Jesus. Our news media is completely contrary to the Word of God. I'm talking, and I understand a lot of folks listen to Fox News and they say that's supposed to be better than all the other ones, but I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of things going on in the United States of America right now, but we know the final chapter. The other day I was reading the book of Revelation. I just got up and read Revelation 19 and 20 and 21 and 22. And Brother Scovel, Dr. Spencer, Brother Camp, I'll tell you right now, I got excited because we know what the Bible says and what's going to happen. We're all going to heaven one day and King Jesus is going to come back. Remember how the book of Acts started. Book of Acts is a book of what? Action. And the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts chapter 1, verse 9 through 11, we have his ascension into heaven. And it says, this same Jesus is going to come in like manner. We've been waiting for 2,000 years. And as we look at the world, as we look at Israel, God's timepiece, and we look at Afghanistan and Iraq and everything that's happening here in the United States, it's waxing worse and worse and it's getting darker and darker. And we ought not to get discouraged by that because guess what? We're going up. And when Jesus comes and the rapture happens in Revelation chapter 4, verse 1, we know we're going up with the Lord Jesus Christ. And this earth is not going to be our home. We're going to have a new heaven. We're going to heaven. We're going to have a new body. We're going to have a glorified body. Praise the Lord for that. Then it says in verse 28, and he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem. Verse 29, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus, and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. How much persecution have you gone through as a Christian? I mean, when you think of the Sudan, or you think of different parts of the world, there's Christians, China, different parts of the world, that are being persecuted daily for the cause of Christ. Probably more now than ever before. So as you serve the Lord Jesus Christ and you lift up his name, don't be shocked when opposition comes, because it will come. It will come. Verse 46 of the same chapter. Acts chapter 9, verse 46. I believe that's where I have. No, it can't be. You're right. That's right. Verse 29, I'm sorry. Thank you, sir. Verse 29, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, and they went about to slay them. That's the second time I read that. Number three. Folks, this isn't bad. This is like 4 months after we got here, but the first month back from the mission field. I mean, English was a difficult thing for me. Miss Roosevelt, you remember? Yeah, I mean, she invested her life in those married men back in the day. And I thank God for her class. But speaking in Japanese is completely backwards. It really is. And when we came here, it took about a month to actually get back into English. But I still think in Japanese. And sometimes dream in Japanese. That's a good thing, Brother Johnson, right? When you start dreaming in Japanese. That's what they say. I'm not sure. But I remember we were in New Jersey and my mom's health wasn't good at all. She's very sick. She's unsaved. I pray that you would put on your prayer list. Her name is Donna Sturp. She's unsaved and she has major stuff wrong with her. And I just don't know if she's going to be alive when we come back. But I remember when we got to New Jersey, my mom asked if we would go food shop and we went to ShopRite. Now, ShopRite and Buy Low are totally different. When you go shopping here in the South, it's a pleasant experience. When you go shopping at ShopRite in New Jersey, it's very difficult. So we went early. I mean, it opened up at 6 a.m. We were up about 3 o'clock in the morning. We were jet lagged, and we went into ShopRite, walking down an aisle, and I just wanted to get some cereal. Just some healthy cereal, something like that. 250 types of cereal. My wife, I mean, really, she was in culture shock. She's like, I can't handle shopping here. This is very, very difficult. So I told her I'd take care of it for the first 2 weeks. Amazing. Just amazing. So number three, we have the need for missions. Acts chapter 13. I know I'm kind of jumping. I'm almost 50. Please bear with me. Jumping around a little bit. Number three. There's a great need. There's a need for missions. In Acts chapter 13, verse 46 through 48. The Bible says, then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, we turn to the Gentiles. Amen. I'm thankful for that verse. Aren't you glad that the apostles, they turned to the Gentiles? That's where you and I got in. Then it says in verse 47, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for the salvation unto the ends of the earth. Mark chapter 16, verse 15, the Bible says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That word go is the plan of God. God's plan requires people, missionaries, pastors. If we do not have strong pastors that are holding the ropes here in America, supporting missions, I never forget Dr. Godfrey when he was here. He would tell pastors, don't you nickel and dime missionaries. You want to get them to the field. They don't need to have 100, 125 churches. That 1970s concept. We got to have 400 missionaries at $10 or $15, $25 a month. Pastors, if you're a pastor major, minimum $100 a month or more. That's just the basic amount. We practice that on the field. We have missionaries in Cambodia, in Bangladesh, in Thailand. My burden right now is Southeast Asia, Jakarta, Indonesia, that part of the world. Now, you can't send an American down there. They'll be killed. It's 95% Muslim. But you can send somebody down there who's from Indonesia and go into Southeast Asia and actually reach those people with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. That word ye is the people of God. The people of God. And this is, and go ye into all the world. And that is the place where God wants us as missionaries. He wants us to go into all the world. And then when we get there, what are we supposed to do? The Bible says we're supposed to preach or to proclaim God's word, the gospel. Preach. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And that is the power of God. Folks, let me tell you something. The gospel has power. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'll tell you, folks, what a wonderful truth that is from the Word of God. So, in verse 47 again, it says, we are the light of the Gentiles, and it goes on to say, thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the world. Now, not everyone's called to be a foreign missionary. I believe that. But you should struggle with a possibility. That world, I'll tell you, the world is huge. America's only 300. What's the population, Brother Johnson, here? 315 million. Okay, the world, I mean, think about China. Over 1.4 billion. India. I mean, when you think of that 1040 window, 40% of the world's population is where we serve over there. Asia is wide open with the gospel of Christ. When we were coming in today, I said, Rebecca, we came down 385, got on 85, we're coming to 85 north. We got up to exit 83, and we got off on 110. Have you ever been down 110 in Calpins, somewhere in there? Came down Calpins, came, and it was beautiful. The sun was rising, went by some horses. Rebecca's like, oh, that's a beautiful horse, Dad. And then we saw some sheep. We talked about, you know, Christ being our shepherd and the Lord is our shepherd, and just talked about Christ. And I said, honey, why don't you start counting Baptist churches? 1, 2, 3, 4. And by the time we got here, I think we're over 10 or 15 churches in just like 20 miles. So many Baptist churches here in the South. And the world is just dying without Christ. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Then the verse says, and the Bible says in verse 48, the same chapter, Acts chapter 13, verse 48. And when the Gentiles heard this, when they heard that the apostles were turning to the Gentiles, they were glad. You have the joy of the Lord in your heart here in Bible College? This is the greatest place on earth. Satan doesn't want you here, by the way. He's going to do everything he can to discourage you. He wants you to quit. Preacher, let me tell you something. Every one of you preacher boys that are here, the ministry is a tough thing, but it is a blessing. And I'll tell you, on Mondays, many times on Monday, Dr. Childs, you know this, many times on Monday, I've wanted to quit, but I could not quit because God called us to the mission field and we had a message to reach the Japanese with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they were glad. Secondly, they glorify the word of the Lord. Have you just got alone with God in the morning and just praised him for his word? I mean, this book is alive, and when we read it, God will change us. He'll change us. And we believe in illumination, and every time we read the word of God, sometimes we're not ready for something, but the next time through and we're reading through the whole Bible, God teaches us something. And just get alone with God and just thank him for his word. Wonderful book. It's a life-changing book. And we're on the mission field and we're away from family and we don't have all the conveniences of the United States of America. Sometimes I'm just thankful for the book. I'll get alone, drive over to the ocean where there's no one there and just sit there in a chair and just read God's word and just praise him for his word. Because his word is powerful. His word is life changing. So they were glad. They glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. Believing is receiving. The one sin that sends somebody to hell is unbelief. It's not murder or abortion or all these other things and alcoholism and all this other stuff. Those are just sins of the flesh. But it is unbelief. Believe on the name of Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. In the Gospel of John, over 90 times we find the word believe, believe. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. I love 1 John. What a great, great chapter. 1 John, you say, what's that in Japanese? Daichi Yohane. Japanese. I got to tell you, I have an interpretation. Okay. Brother Kiwa said, are you going to speak Japanese this morning? I said, oh, maybe. Yeah, I'll have to tell you. Hi, Mochiron. 1 John chapter 5. Let's start in verse 10. Well, let's start in verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. Verse 10. He that believeth on the Son of God hath life, hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. Verse 11. And this is the record, that God had given us eternal life, and this life is in the Son. I'm a New Jersey boy, public school educated. I mean, I'm not a smart Greek or Hebrew scholar, but it's pretty basic. If you have Christ, you're saved. But if you don't have Christ, you're not saved. Now, how many of y'all can understand that? I mean, it's pretty basic stuff, but I'm thankful for that, that if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you're saved. And if you don't, you're not saved. I mean, coming to college or, you know, going to church or being baptized or, you know, being a good person, that's nothing. You must be born again. That's what the Bible says. And then it goes on to say in verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And verse 13, wonderful promise. These things have I written unto you, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may what? What is it? No. That word no over 30 times in 1 John. You need to mark it in your script. Because I'll tell you, the devil's going to say, are you really saved? I know. Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Dare demo. There you go, Brother Dave. Whosoever. Dare demo. In Japanese is the word. For whosoever. Verse 13, it goes on to say, that you may know that you have eternal life and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. What a wonderful truth to have assurance of salvation. I remember when we were in Bible college, so many freshmen would come in, sophomores. They would have no assurance of their salvation. In every opening revival, somebody got assurance of salvation or they got saved. And it's important to know without a shadow of a doubt that you are saved and you know from the Word of God that you have assurance. So looking back, they heard, they were glad, they glorify the word of the Lord, and the result, many were ordained to eternal life. What a blessing. But I believe boldness comes with numbers. Boldness comes with numbers. That's why we go out on visitation. That's why we go out in groups. Now, God has told us that we are a light to the Gentiles. How is your light this morning? When you go out from college, when classes are over, is your light being uncovered by just something that's going on in your life? Or are you letting folks know what Jesus Christ has done in your life? Let's get practical for a minute. Acts chapter 19, verse 8. How to use biblical boldness. How to use biblical boldness. Acts chapter 19, verse 8, the Bible says, "And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God." A lot of religious people here in the United States. I was saved out of the Roman Catholic Church. I don't like to call it a church. Ecclesia, church is a called out group, called out assembly of believers. But when I got saved out of Roman Catholicism, I went to church twice a year, Easter and Christmas. Didn't care about the scriptures, had no idea what salvation was. And when I heard the gospel when I was in the Marine Corps in Okinawa, Japan, it was so simple, and I'm so thankful to just be able to believe and trust Christ and then get baptized, follow the Lord and believers' baptism, and God changed my life. But in the Roman Catholic Church, it's a works. The seven sacraments of the church. It's a works type salvation. Jesus said, or Paul over there in 1 Timothy 2:5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." Amen. No Mary, no Pope, it's Christ and Him alone. Amen. So as Christians, we need discernment and boldness when dealing with religious people. Now, Mrs. Hina was a Seventh-day Adventist. You know what Seventh-day Adventists believe. We don't worship on Saturday or do any things like that. You know, those commands were for Israel. I mean, they get wrapped up in all that, but she was unsaved. We worked with her for a year and a half, Brother Spencer, before she got saved. A year and a half. And then when she got saved, she has been one of our most faithful believers. Loves the Word of God, reads the Word of God. I'm talking, she says she reads almost 2 to 3 hours a day, her Bible. She was there when they dropped that bomb on Hiroshima. Now, she could hate America easily, but she got saved by the grace of God, and she has cancer from here, from her waist down. But she's faithful. She came to church one day, and she was crying. And I said, "Mrs. Hina, why are you crying?" She said, "I'd like to wear a dress, Pastor, to the church, but I'm ashamed if people saw from my waist down to my feet all the cancer and all the operations I had. I would be embarrassed." I said, "Mrs. Hina, you come as you are. You know, folks, that's not important to me, really. I mean, her heart, she loves God. And, we understand that. God understands that. It's not about our outward appearance, because God sees our hearts. Man, we can look great from the top down to the bottom. We can be in three-piece suits. Girls, you can be dressed so modestly. But God wants your heart. He wants your heart. Proverbs says, give me your heart. God wants our hearts. He wants our lives. And many of you have surrendered for full-time Christian service. That's why you're here. What a blessing it is. God wants our hearts. He wants our hearts. Secondly, how to use biblical boldness? We must be willing to work with people as long as it takes. The word for patience in Japanese is the word nintai. I don't know about you, but how many here this morning say, "Preacher, I need more patience in my life. Can I see your hands?" Amen. I'm with you. Are you willing to have the tribulation that comes with it? See, the Bible says tribulation works patience. Ephesians chapter 3, we're almost done here. We'll be done here before 10 o'clock. Ephesians 3, 12. "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of Him." Ephesians chapter 6, I want everybody to turn there. This will be the last verse and we'll close. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20. This is practical. Boldness. Biblical boldness. How can we use biblical boldness? The Bible says, as for me, in verse 19, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Christian, how bold are you in your faith? How bold are you in your testimony? How bold are you when you go out and talk to people about Christ? Remember what I said earlier in the message. Without the filling and controlling of the Holy Spirit of God, you will be timid. You will be afraid. You will not share your faith. We must have the boldness of Jesus Christ. This morning, let's ask God to help us to be a bold witness for Jesus Christ. Think about that bomb that went off in Boston. All those people that died, if they weren't saved, we know where they're at. I'll tell you, folks, we're living in hard and dark times. May we, by the Holy Spirit's controlling, may we be controlled and filled by God's Spirit so we may speak the Word of God with boldness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, dear God, for the Word of God. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who indwells and lives inside the believer. I thank you, dear God, for Ambassador Baptist College. I thank you for all these missionary majors. What a blessing that was as a missionary to see all these young people and adults raise their hands for a full-time Christian service to the mission field. And God, I just pray you'll bless the pastors and the evangelists and all the people that are studying here. God, may we leave Ambassador Baptist College changed today by your Holy Spirit. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.